کارآفرینان
ارائه ای از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN
کارآفرینان
با سلام خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز به برنامه کارآفرینان خوش آمدید. برنامه غیر تبلیغاتی تقدیمی رادیو ایران به شما شنوندگان خوب و محترم برای که برای شما قابل استفاده باشه امیدواریم و بتونید از اون مطالب خوبی رو داشته باشید در زمینه کسب و کار به خصوص. امروز میهمان ما خانم جوان ریس هستند با مدرک کارشناسی ارشد هنر از دانشگاه استنفورد، کارشناس ارشد توسعه حرفه در مراکز غیر انتفاعی و ایشون بیش از 16 سال تجربه دارن در کار خودشون. در حال حاضر خانم جوان ریس رئیس فولفیلمنت فاند هستند، نهادی غیر انتفاعی برای دستیابی به کالج و موفقیت در کالج که 40 ساله در زمینه ارائه راه‌ها و در اختیار قرار دادن فرصت‌ها و فراهم کردن موقعیت‌ها به جوانان جوامع کمک می‌کنه، جوامع کم درآمد در این زمینه فعالیت می‌کنند. در گذشته خانم جوان ریس مدیر ارشد توسعه در بخش‌هایی از لس آنجلس چیلدرن هاسپیتال بودند، علاوه بر اون کار نظارت بر برگزاری گردهمایی‌های بیمارستان برای جمع‌آوری کمک رو به عهده داشتند. قبل از اون در طول مدت همکاریشون در چیلدرنز میراکل نتورک بیش از 70 میلیون دلار کمک مالی برای این مرکز جمع‌آوری کردند. مدارس منطقه لس آنجلس و سازمان‌هایی که در جهت بهتر شدن زندگی کودکان فعالند همواره کانون توجه و علاقه شخصی و حرفه‌ای خانم جوان ریس بوده. ایشون که مادر دو دختر باهوش و پر انرژی هستند، علاوه بر همه خدماتشون داوطلبانه با سازمان‌های مختلف غیر انتفاعی محلی هم همکاری داشتند و مربی چندین دختر جوان پیشاهنگ بودند که برای دستیابی به جایزه مخصوص این رشته تلاش میکردن. جوان، thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. سلام. من خوشحالم که اینجا هستم.
مرسی. Thank you so much. First of all, your last name is Reyes, right?
That's correct.
Pronouncing right. Okay, Joan. I want to ask you to talk about the fulfillment fund, but first I want to know a little bit more about yourself.
Sure.
You have been born in...
So I was actually born in not this country. So I'm an immigrant.
Yes.
And proud to be an immigrant. And I was born in Manila. We immigrated here when I was only 3 years old. And I've grown up here in Los Angeles. So it's a very special place, LA. You know, we have so many wonderful cultures coming together.
Right.
I was just telling one of your team here that I have an uncle who's from Iran. And so I grew up listening to Farsi and hearing Farsi, and so I'm very happy to be here to speak
great.
To your audience today.
Great. So do you understand some words?
Tiny bit. I understand when you said thank you.
But you speak few languages.
I do.
Am I right?
I do. So in addition to English, I speak Spanish. I speak Tagalog. I grew up speaking Chinese, although my Chinese is terrible now.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of French, and I'm teaching myself to speak Korean.
Oh, great. Which is not any close to Chinese, is
no,
it?
No, not at all. It's a completely different language, sentence structure, everything.
Okay.
But it's fun.
Fun. Just for fun you want
just
to learn
just for fun.
It? Okay. And Spanish you speak completely?
I speak better when I'm not shy about it.
Oh, right. Every language is like
yes,
that. Yes,
very much so.
How did you learn it? Because of the
you know,
your
there
job?
Was, well, there was a lot of, and believe it or not, because of the history of the Philippines, there's a lot of words in Tagalog that are Spanish words. Cuchara, for instance, is spoon. In both languages, the same. Papel is paper. It's the same thing.
Oh, really?
So there's already so many words I grew up hearing that were Spanish words. And then when I started in junior high school, I wanted to learn it formally, and I studied it for 5 years. So it was a really good learning process. And my father also speaks Spanish fluently. So that was, you know, that's nice to have someone in your house that would speak it all the time.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, Joan, let's talk about Fulfillment Fund.
Yes.
What is the mission? Tell us a little bit about this organization.
So Fulfillment Fund is Los Angeles's oldest and largest college access and college completion nonprofit. So what that means is that we support about 3,000 students every year to get into and finish college. And that's very important. And these students are coming from mostly lower income households and are will be the first in their families to go to college. And education is such an important tool that we have to really set our life in the right direction. Whether you become an entrepreneur, you start your own business, or whether you pursue sort of a professional pathway in different large corporations that exist already, education is so, so important in helping you build those critical thinking skills, the life skills, the soft skills that we will help be, you know, help you be successful in life. So we really feel strongly that college is an important, important achievement, and we want to make sure that every student in Los Angeles has an opportunity to go to college, regardless of what their family's background is or whether they're the first in their families to go.
And how does it work that people with in low-income family, they approach your organization and you
help them?
We actually
have great school partners. So we intentionally choose to be in schools that serve students that are lower income. So a lot our schools that we partner with serve high-need communities. And so we were at eight different schools across LA. All of those schools, a majority of their students are first generation students, and our majority are coming from lower income households. Wow. And we provide classroom lessons, and we also provide one-on-one advising. So when working with students one-on-one to help them complete their college applications, write their personal statements, get financial aid. Right. So important. You know, so many students think, oh, I can't go to college because it costs too much. No, that's not true. There's a lot of financial aid out there. You just have to know where to look. Mm-hmm. And so once they get into college, it's very important that we help them succeed, because many first-generation students, there's no mom or dad at home that's had that experience before. And so it's important for them to get the right kind of support. They can ask questions. They can say, what happens if my, you know, I'm not doing so well in class. What are my resources? What are twin extra long bed sheets for this dorm thing that I have to have? Like things that, you know, we don't know unless we actually have had that experience.
Right. And is there any limit in how many students you can accept and help them?
We generally work with the schools to identify all the students. And so when we're working with the schools, it's all the students at that school, wall to wall, regardless of their academic achievement. You know, for many students, they don't know yet that they want to go to college. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start out in the ninth grade, imagine being 14 years old. Are you thinking about college yet? Not always.
Yeah.
So, and especially for our students who don't have anybody in their family who's had that experience, it might not be where their road is headed, right? They don't think that. So we work with the schools, all the students at those schools, when we identify our school partners.
Oh, okay. So how about the low-income students who are not at the school that you talk to, or you're monitoring them?
Yes. Well, we do make our services available through the schools, but we would love to be in more schools across Los Angeles. So we're in six Los Angeles Unified School District schools and two that are part of larger charter organizations. And, you know, I wish we could be everywhere, but we're a nonprofit. So everything we do is based off of philanthropy and our ability to, you know, seek out sources from the community to help us do our work.
Right. And how do you make the money to do these things?
That's the hard part. Financing the dream, right?
Yeah.
You know, and this is where I was thinking a lot about your listeners and about, you know, financing their dreams and how they go about building their businesses. And I want to say that a nonprofit is just like a company. It is a company, quite frankly. You have to have a good revenue model. You have to understand your audience. You have to have high-performing team members. So when you're running a nonprofit, you know, and you're looking at your revenue stream, you have to really think about diversification. For a long time, the Fulfillment Fund has existed. We've been around for 41 years, and we have been all based on donations. Can you believe it? How wonderful is Los Angeles that you've been able to help us do this for 41 years on donations alone.
Right.
But it's, you know, tough to do that. It's really, really tough to do that. So we're thinking about ways to broaden our revenue and our the types of revenue we bring in, not just through donations, but through fee-for-service partnerships, you know, having some fee associated with our work, as well as any potential government grants that we may get, because we don't currently receive government grants. And so, and the government, this is an important issue to our government, and they do provide some funding for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in really leading this organization, I thought about the changes we needed to make to our revenue model to make us more sustainable in the future. And so that we could continue to serve more students and we could continue to make this impact in the community. And that's really, you know, that's where we are today, is shifting our business model around to accommodate this new revenue stream.
Okay. God bless all the people who help your organization.
Yes, very much.
No, really, that's true. You said where you are today, but where does the road lead to in the future, you think?
Well, you know, we have been so successful, thankfully, because of all those people who have given, you know, donations so graciously to us over the years. We've been able to get so many students into college, but we've identified a problem. And the problem is that it's not enough to get students into college. We must help them complete college, because what's the point of getting in and if you don't actually walk away with a degree in hand, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And so the whole process of if it is to walk away with this piece of paper that says you've accomplished this incredible milestone. And quite frankly, for many first generation students, this is a huge obstacle. Students who are coming from households where there's already someone who's been to college and completed college, it's a much easier track for them. Still across the United States, only about 63% of students who pursue a four-year education actually get their degree. So, I mean, just a little over half, really. And for students coming from low-income households that are first generation, that percentage is 11%. So a couple of years ago, we piloted a program to help our students complete college. And what we found is in tracking them through the years, our completion rates are between 77 and 83%.
Wow.
So we even outperformed the students that have had people in their families before go to college. So now our challenge is, this is where we want to go, and we need people to walk down this road with us and to say, you know what, I believe in this mission. I believe in this cause. Let me see what I can do to help you. Let me help you help kids finish college and make sure that they enter the workplace meaningfully.
So when we are talking about college, you mean junior college, right?
Well, some are junior college, but also four-year degrees. So many of our students, about half of our students go to junior college right away for a variety of reasons. Some are financial. It makes a lot of financial sense to start at junior college and then transfer to a four-year. It just costs a lot less money. And some because they're not quite sure yet, and some because this is what they want to pursue. An associate's degree is an incredible achievement for many of our students. This is the first in their family who will attain that level of education. So about half of our students will go first to a two-year college before, and then about half will go straight into a four-year.
And still you're going to help them financially in the four-year also?
Well, financially, we help them identify sources of scholarships and loans. And we have some scholarships, but not as many as what's available to them. The federal government actually has a need-based program. It's called, and when you fill out your FAFSA, your Federal Application for Student Aid, you're based on your family's income. There's a need that's identified that can be met by federal dollars and some state dollars as well. So there's a lot of free money to go to college out there. You just have to make sure you know how to get it. And that's what we're here to help students do.
Great. Thank you for what you're doing. Mobad Berim commercial. خدمت دوستان عرض کنم که صحبت از نهادی است که همونطور که خدمتون گفتم برای دستیابی به کالج و موفقیت در کالج 40 ساله که فعال. همونطور که شنیدید البته اشاره کردن که مدارس مشخصی رو که خودشون تعیین کردن شاید حدود 6 تا هم هست به اون جاها مراجعه میکنن و دانش آموزانش رو از اونجا با تایید مدرسه مطمئن میشن که لو اینکام هستن و علاقه دارن به ادامه تحصیل و اونها رو به کالج میبرند و همین امر کمک میکنه که خیلی از بچه هایی که تا به حال تو خونشون هیچ کس کالج نرفته بوده بتونن به این مرحله دست پیدا کنن که بعد از اون هم بعضی هاشون وارد دانشگاه های 4 ساله میشن و برای گرفتن لیسانس اقدام میکنن. خانم جوان ریس همونطور که عرض کردم رئیس فولفیلمنت فاند هستن. همون نهادی که الان در مورد فعالیت‌هاش داریم با ایشون صحبت میکنیم و 40 ساله که مشغول فعالیته. How long have you been working with this organization?
I've been at the Fulfillment Fund now for a little over a year, so a very short period of time. But I've been in the nonprofit space for about 18 years.
Right.
So it's something that's very meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. I am a first-generation student myself. You know, my mother has a degree, but from a different country. My father, unfortunately, wasn't able to finish his college degree. And so it was so important, you know, because there's so many lessons to be learned. I thought about what it was like growing up here in L.A. in my high school. My high school had nobody like the Fulfillment Fund. I had one college counselor, and I think I saw her once in the 10th grade. And that was all she had time to give me because she was so busy. Our schools are under-resourced. You know, our schools don't have even the most basic requirements these days. And this was many, many years ago when I was in school. And so I think about how important the Fulfillment Fund's mission is to so many students in L.A. and who might not otherwise have the opportunity to pursue college. And whether or not, like I said, you decide that once you've complete your degree, you want to start your own business or you want to go into the corporate workplace, these skills are so critical. The learning, the knowledge increase in just your exposure to the world, the way that you look at the world, that college experience provides that. And so I think it's a really important time in a young person's life to really broaden their perspective and their scope.
What was your motivation to start this? You studied in art somehow, right?
Oh, actually studied. So I was always one of those kids that that always had a plan. You know, I guess my parents were really wonderful, and they gave me a lot of latitude to say what I wanted to do with my life, and didn't tell me you have to do this or you have to do that. So I remember being 13 and telling my mom, "Here's what I'm going to do, Mom. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to finish in 3 years, and then I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to finish that in 3 years, and I'll pass the bar, and I'll be practicing by the time I'm 24."
Okay.
And I'm always in a rush with life. And she sort of like, okay, went, sure, if that's what you want to do. And life has a way of teaching you lessons. So this is what I loved about my college experience, is I went to UCLA for undergrad, declared already in political science. I wanted to study the world. I wanted to go to law school. And when I was working in college, because I worked, you know, many students work while they're in college.
Yes.
You know, they work to make ends meet. They work because they want job experience. They work because it's good exposure. And I worked at various law firms across this town, different kinds of legal practice.
Mm-hmm.
There was a receivership practice. There was an entertainment firm I worked for. There was a tax attorney. And all of these wonderful mentors in my life said, here's the thing. We don't think that you're cut out to be a lawyer, not because you can't do it, because I don't think you'd be very happy. So then I started to think about what I want to do, and that's when I decided to pursue my PhD in political science so that I could really study the world. And that led me to my nonprofit career, where I realized that what I wanted to do was not study the world, but to make a difference. And that was 18 years ago. It's amazing how quickly time flies when you're doing something you're passionate about.
Wow. Interesting. دوستان خانم جون ریس میهمان ما هستند، کارشناس ارشد توسعه حرفه در مراکز غیر انتفاعی که با نام Fulfillment Fund، سازمان ایشون نامش Fulfillment Fund هست، نهادی غیر انتفاعی برای دستیابی به کالج و موفقیت در کالج، که 40 سال در زمینه ارائه راه‌ها و فراهم کردن فرصت‌ها برای جوانان جوامع کم درآمد فعالیت داره. برنامه کارآفرینان رو میشنوید، برمیگردیم خدمتتون.
به پادکست رادیو ایران گوش میکنید. 670 پادکست. گلچینی از برنامه‌های رادیو ایران. رادیو ایران. socalpersian.com.
کارآفرینان
ارائه ای از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN
کارآفرینان
دوستان شنونده برنامه کارآفرینان هستید، برنامه غیر تبلیغاتی تقدیمی رادیو ایران به شما شنوندگان خوب. برای بالا بردن سطح آگاهی شما در زمینه‌های مختلف در این برنامه از میهمانان خوبی که در کارشون موفق هستند دعوت می‌کنیم تشریف بیارن با شما صحبت کنند تا بتونند تجربیات خودشون رو با شما در میون بگذارن و برای شما احتمالاً مفید خواهد بود این تجربیات، امیدواریم اینطور باشه. میهمان امروز ما خانم جوان ریس هستند که همونطور که عرض کردم کارشناس ارشد توسعه حرفه هستند در مراکز غیر انتفاعی با 16 سال تجربه. ایشون رئیس فولفیلمنت فاند هستند، نهادی غیر انتفاعی برای دستیابی به کالج و موفقیت در کالج برای جوانان جوامع کم درآمد فعالیت میکنه این سازمان و 40 ساله که به فعالیتش ادامه میده. اونها رو راهنمایی میکنه، کمکشون میکنه که وارد کالج بشن، کالج رو تموم کنند و فرصت‌های مناسبی در اختیارشون قرار میدن در زمینه‌های مختلف. جوان، what are your key learnings from this period of transition and evolution, and how might these learnings translate to small businesses and entrepreneurs? You know, this show is basically about small businesses, so. What advice do you have for our listeners regarding that?
Well, first of all, I think your listeners are probably really smart and could give me a lot of advice as well. But I wanted to underscore that, you know, a nonprofit is a business. It's, you know, instead of providing a value for profit, we provide a social good. But the structure of it is a corporation. It's like any other business. So the key learnings are that, you know, you really have to run it like a business. You know, you have to be accountable. You have to understand your customer. So I was reading something recently about Jeff Bezos and his obsession with his customer. You know, Amazon started as basically like a book trading company. It's a textbook trading company. In fact, I remember being an undergrad at UCLA and hearing about Jeff Bezos's company for the first time about, you know, this is a place where you can buy used textbooks. And then he built that business from there because he really got obsessed with understanding his customers' needs and desires, right? And so for us, it's the same, except that we have two different customers. We have the community at large who could possibly support the organization, and then we have the students that we are honored to serve. And we really have to understand the value proposition we bring to both parties. So I really think that, you know, like that's the key that you have to begin with is when you're creating your business, what's your value proposition? Who is your customer? What do they need? How do you serve them throughout their various portions of their life? So I think about our students and we start out with them in high school. We start out in ninth grade. In ninth grade, the curriculum we teach is very different than when we finally get those students into college, and how we support them is very different at that stage of their life. I would say to your you know, listeners and your small business owners, understand your customer. Take the time to do surveys and really understand what they need and want from you, and then create your value proposition based on that. And that way you really have an, you know, customer affinity, and that way people stick with you. And then think about ways to bring them into your, you know, into your service and to add value at the various points in their life. You know, it might be that they start off with you. I think about people who, you know, who start off with a phone company, let's say. I don't know about you, but I have stuck with the same telephone company for my cell phone for so many years. Part of it is I'm too lazy to find another company. Right. Part of it is that every once in a while they'll offer me something that I go, oh, you know, I feel really good about that. They understand my needs right now. So same lessons, you know, in a nonprofit environment. It's understanding where our students are at different points in their life. Even we have alumni coming back to us as professionals now, and how to get those individuals back into the fold, because we tell them, you know, this fulfillment fund has been a really important part of your experience, and now it's your turn to give back to the younger generation.
Right.
And it creates value for them because now they feel like they're doing their part in our community to give back, and they're imparting their own wisdom to the younger set. So that's one of the key learnings, is to really understand your customer, understand the value proposition you bring, and know that you can differentiate it at different parts of their life. Number two, I would say, you know, look at your books really carefully. Balance your revenue and expenditures. What are you spending your money on? is it value add? Is it creating more value for your company? Or are you just, it's not actually moving the needle? Look at your expenditures really carefully, not for the amount you spend, but for the value it brings you. And that includes making sure that you're staffed properly. I know a lot of people, when they start their small businesses, it's just them, right? Or family members. And maybe you don't pay yourself yet until your business starts turning a profit. But then you start to get to the point where you're hiring employees. And you have to ask yourself, what do I want to invest in my employees? And do I want to stick? Do I want them to have to stick with me long term? Because even though you're paying them, what you're also doing is investing in them. Without you realizing it, you're teaching them knowledge about your industry. You're teaching them about how your business works.
Is it bad? No.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing.
They learn better and better and they work better for you.
Exactly. And so, you know, make sure that you do really well in investing in your employees because they will stay with you. Mm-hmm. And that knowledge, that history they have is very hard to replace. When they leave, you know, you find yourself at odds because all of a sudden this person that used to do all this stuff for your company takes all that knowledge with them, right? So make sure you treat your people well and invest in their growth.
Mm-hmm.
I talked a little bit about balancing revenue and expenditures, looking at your books carefully, but actually the revenue side is really, really important too. Have you looked at everywhere where you can actually tap into new revenue? So part of what we've been doing at the Fulfillment Fund is really asking the question of, you know, aside from philanthropy, where is there opportunity for us to generate revenue? You should be asking the same of your business. Is you have this product that you're putting out or this service. Are you really thinking about all of the ways, the vertical ways that you could create value around all your services? And I'm having a hard time with an example of that. But let's say that you provide, you know, this type of, let's say, IT service. And you have this expertise, but it only costs you nominally more to invest in another linked type of service. It's up and down the verticality chain of your customer. Think about it as it's whether or not it's worth investing in, worth trying to build out your business and doing it that way. Look under every rock for possible revenue opportunities. Don't be afraid to, you know, and you guys already know this because entrepreneurs are risk takers, right? You are people who stick your neck out, take a risk, a calculated risk, and the gains are often far larger because, you know, the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. So think about all of the ways that, you know, that you're not already tapping into new revenue for your business because there's always something there that you might have not thought of. And the same is what's happening for us right now in the nonprofit space and at the Fulfillment Fund. We're thinking really carefully about all the revenue generating possibilities we have so that we can look at our business plan for the next 3 to 5 years and see what that looks like, where our growth opportunities are. So I hope this gives a sense of the ways that, you know, that nonprofits are just like any other corporation, any other business. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, feel passionate about what you do because nobody can sell a product better than you, right? If you're passionate, if your employees are passionate, if people feel that and they believe in what the service, the product, the mission is, you can feel that it's so genuine and it makes
You always can tell that someone loves his job or not.
Right. Exactly. And so when you're out there starting your business, it's something that you really you have to feel like it's the right thing for you. And it's that you're creating value.
Mm-hmm.
So to really feel assured and confident that what you do in providing that service or product is creating value.
Great. That was very nice advices. همونطور که اشاره کردن سازمان غیر انتفاعی هم ادارش مثل یک بیزینسه و به خاطر همین از تجربه هاشون خواستیم استفاده کنیم که دقیقا مثل یک بیزینس گفتن شما باید مشتریتون رو بشناسید، خواسته هاشون رو بدونید، نیاز هاشون رو بدونید و مرتب اونها رو حالت up to date چیزهایی رو که نیاز دارن براشون برآورده کنید و از اون طرف هم ریسک های حساب شده در کارتون انجام بدید و کارتون رو بهتر و بهتر بکنید. همیشه همین بوده. کسی که بیزینس یا کسب و کار خودش رو داره کسیه که ریسک برمی‌داره، ولی خب این ریسک‌ها باید حساب شده باشه. هرچه ریسک بزرگتر ولی سودش هم بیشتر باهاش میاد و مهمتر از همه باید کارتون رو دوست داشته باشید، چرا که همیشه کسی که با شما سر و کار داره، مشتری شما، مراجع شما متوجه میشه که میتونه بگه که شما کارتون رو دوست ندارید و معمولا آدم کارش رو دوست نداشته باشه خوبم یه جورایی انجامش نمیده. How did you choose your first job? What was your first job after school? Political science.
Well, this is a little bit tricky because I knew that I was going to graduate school. Mm-hmm. So I did manage to finish college in 3 years like I set out to do. But I knew I had a break in between. I had about a year in between when I finished college and when I started graduate school. So I just wanted to get some experience.
Mm-hmm.
My first job was in human resources. For a company that later became a part of a big aerospace company. And I don't want to say which, but there's only so many aerospace companies in town, so you can guess. And we did missile defense testing. And in working in human resources, here's the thing. Every lesson in life, right, is learned by what you like and what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, to me, it's you have every opportunity to learn about yourself, even in a bad situation. So in that situation, it wasn't bad. I just knew that that was not the career for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy to be going into graduate school, to be pursuing political science, to be studying, you know, world systems, to be looking at economic development all around the world, to be looking to, you know, create some public policy or promote some public policy mm-hmm. that would actually help people. And the amazing thing about that is that road that leads you from this is what I don't like, working in human resources for an aerospace company, to I want to work in a nonprofit and really make an impact day to day in people's lives, is mm-hmm. one that was peppered with wonderful, caring adult mentors who I had, you know, reached out to and all throughout that entire period was able to give me their sage advice. You know, mm-hmm. I think, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and provide, you know, your advice and your life experience is so valuable, so valuable. I mean, so many people take different twists and turns. Most people today don't stay in one career or even one company for their entire life.
Right.
You know, and so I think many of our entrepreneurs are probably or would be entrepreneurs have maybe left careers to start their own business.
Yes.
Which is wonderful, you know, but that life experience cannot be replicated and is so valuable to young people to be able to share with them. That's how I learned. And that's how many of our young people learn. And in fact, you know, Fulfillment Fund, once a year we host an event. It's at a local college. This year it will be at Loyola Marymount University on October 26th. And we are looking for people with wonderful business experience to share your professional experience with our young people, with our college students, to help them navigate, help them figure out their careers, to give them, you know, the learning you've had in your life, because they don't know what they don't know. I didn't know what I didn't know at age, you know, 21, 23, right. 25. You just don't. You learn from other people who are kind enough to share with you what they've learned.
Oh, that's
so it's called Destination College.
Uh-huh.
We are looking again for people to sign up to become career advocates for our college students. So again, it's just, it's really easy. 45 minutes, share your time, share your experience with a college mm-hmm. student.
Is this the only way that small businesses and entrepreneurs can get involved at the Fulfillment Fund?
Actually, no. You know, what's really wonderful about our college students, and we tell people this all the time, and they don't believe us until they meet the college students, is because they've been with us for such a long period of time, we have a 10-year promise to our students. We start with them in ninth grade, and we help them complete college. So roughly, that takes 10 years. They have so many soft skills that they've learned by working with us. Time management, efficiency, self-advocacy, all kinds of, you know, communication skills, soft skills that you learn along the way that not every would-be employee has. And so when our seniors are ready to go into the workplace, we're trying to get them internships with, you know, local companies, people who have businesses here in L.A. We want people to reinvest back in Los Angeles. Take your skills back here to L.A. And we, you know, people can get involved with us that way. We're always looking for companies to, you know, to provide internship opportunities. There's also ways to speak to our young people about your various experiences in a small group setting. And then, of course, there's, you know, you can make a donation at our website. You can always do that. But, you know, as a company, as an individual, you have so many resources at your fingertips other than financial donations. People mm-hmm. don't realize it. They think, oh, I'm going to donate and that's what they want me to do. That's wonderful. We love that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, We are also looking for people to volunteer their time. You can come and help out at this Destination College event. You can volunteer your time as a career advocate, teach our college students about what you've learned. And you can just volunteer all year long to advocate for the organization in a leadership capacity.
And do they get any benefit from that? Any?
I would say so. Well, we definitely have, you know, what happens is we build a community. Our communities talk together. So we have a lot of different corporations who have been networking among each other because they're now part of the Fulfillment Fund family. So there's that benefit of, you know, being a part of the Fulfillment Fund because you just have access to people that you might have not had access to before.
Right. So you have two little girls.
I do.
With all these things you do.
I do. The loves of my life. They're 8 and 3, almost 4. And I have a wonderful husband as well. So I'm really, really fortunate.
Thank God. And how do you manage all these hard working with two kids?
Good time management. Again, that really, really critical soft skill. You have to tell yourself what you can be most efficient at doing, you know, and also outsourcing. Here's the thing. Another lesson for businesses, maybe. Know what you don't do well. Outsource it. Pay to outsource it. Because if you don't do it well and it's a waste of your time, you're not maximizing your opportunity. So, for instance, my small version of outsourcing is takeout, you know. Family dinner, great. Somebody cooks, great. Or takeout. There's Postmates, there's Uber Eats, there's all kinds of Grubhub, all sorts of ways you can still have a nutritious meal. You just have to be careful about what you choose.
Right.
That when I was first starting this position, I was having a really hard time managing my commute. And so I got a mother's helper in the morning to help me get ready for the morning, help the girls get ready for the morning. And then we were all in a better state of mind for it. You know, so I wasn't afraid to ask for help when I needed it. And also, you know, community parenting. I'm really lucky. I have family nearby. Mm-hmm. They're always helpful with my girls. And with my girls, they're so close to their entire family because of it.
That's great. That's great. So what is your last suggestions for our listeners who are looking for a job, who they want to change their job, maybe they don't like it, and they are not sure what they like? What is your suggestion?
Well, you know, interestingly, I had a couple of people reach out to me on LinkedIn, and they just wanted to do an informational interview because they didn't know enough about my industry. So they, you know, sought me out and said, I'd be happy to, you know, take you out for coffee if you would spare me 15, 20 minutes of your time to just talk about what you do in your industry. So that was the first part of the exploration. So about 3 people reach out to me that way. You know, when somebody says that to you, you're very flattered. And most people will say, sure, I'll spend 20 minutes talking to you. So explore. You know, maybe you don't know about something and you want to know more. Find somebody on LinkedIn that you think, oh, that'd be a good person to talk to. You know, they might have some insight about what that industry is like. Then when you figure out a little bit, like, kind of where you want to head, and if you want to make a career shift, you're having a hard time, you know, writing on your resume what you're all about, because that resume can be very intimidating, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say really look at your skills, not your experience. Think about all of the roles you've had. If you're a stay-at-home mom, guess what? There's a ton of skills associated with being a stay-at-home mom. You're chief executive officer of everything, right? And if you've been helping your spouse or your partner build their business, there's a ton of skills associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
So really think about your skills. Don't be afraid to brag about yourself. You know,
yeah, because sometimes you don't see yourself as good as you are. You think to yourself, what skill do I have? I don't know anything.
Exactly.
But the way you look at it is very different.
Exactly. And think about all of those experiences you've had and what skills you needed to be successful to accomplish your goals. So whether it's, you know, negotiation, I have trivial examples of things that exemplify negotiation. But for instance, like with my girls, you know, fighting with them back and forth about what they're going to wear in the morning, it's a negotiation skill that I have every day.
Yeah.
And you build that. I mean, this is a completely trivial example, but think about your life and how maybe as with a business vendor, you negotiate. You're skilled at negotiating. Put that down on your resume. Mm-hmm. So really
practice
think about
it
your
at
skills.
Home.
Yes, exactly.
With your kids, with your husband, Yes, you're right. Negotiation. And it prevents argument.
Yes, exactly. So I know your listeners have tons of skills. It's a matter of identifying and putting them down and harnessing them in a way that helps them move toward their next phase of their career or their business.
Okay. And for the people who have business and they want and like to help your organization, Fulfillment Fund, how can they contact you?
Sure. Well, definitely our website is wonderful and has tons of information about what we do and who we are. So that's www.fulfillment.org. That's fulfillment.org. If they want to get involved in the event I mentioned as career advocates and help give young people some wisdom about what they've learned, it's fulfillment.org/destinationcollege. And it's on October 26th at Loyola Marymount University. And then they can email me. I can give you the email address, jreyes@fulfillment.org. If you're curious about something I've said, you can feel free to email me and we can talk.
Can you say your email again?
Sure. It's jreyes, J-R-E-Y-E-S, at fulfillment.org.
Okay. Thank you so much. Probably your email is on the website also?
Yes, it is.
Yes, on fulfillment.com.
Org.
O-R-G. Dot org.
Yes.
Fulfillment.org. Thank you so much, Joanne.
It was such a pleasure to be here. I'm so honored. I hope I said things that were helpful and inspiring to your listeners.
I'm sure it was. Thank you so much. Have a great day
and say hi
to your kids from us.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
کارآفرینان
ارائه ای از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN
کارآفرینان